In Jesus' name, Christian friends, I really hate the kind of sermon that you are about to hear. And that's especially odd because this sermon is about love. And I'll explain that in a moment, but first let's read the passage before us this morning. And I'll read it from a different translation. You can compare the one in the service folder. 1 John chapter 4, reading from verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. The word love is one of the most misused in our language. For one thing, it's so broad. We love everything. We love our parents. We love our spouses. We love our boy or girlfriends. We love hot dogs. We love the new Xbox. We love everything. And even with such a broad meaning, it's a very powerful word. And it's misused, as some of us know, to manipulate people, as in, if you really loved me, you would do this or that. But I'm going to push past those problems this morning and focus on misusing the word love in God's name. And this is the part I hate, because I'm about to be critical of some other churches. And I know that whenever a preacher does that, it's so easy for him to sound like a Pharisee. Remember that guy Jesus spoke of in the temple who was so proud of himself, and he prayed, God, I thank you that I am so much better than that guy over there. And I don't want to sound like that. Instead, I want to sound like, in speaking of other churches, I want to thank God that he has given us a passage like this one before us this morning. And by telling a couple stories, I hope to make it clear to all of us how important and wonderful that gift is. Story one, a few years ago I attended a funeral of a friend in a Christian church that was not Lutheran. The preacher chose as the text for the sermon verses from this very chapter of 1 John, what I call the love chapter. I'm going to read those verses of that text and ask you to keep track of the verse numbers. I'll help you do that. Here was the text for the funeral sermon. 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. That was verse 7. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It was verse 8. Verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Now, if you're very familiar with the Bible, you've noticed, even without my numbering those verses, that this preacher left out two verses right in the middle of this reading. Here are the two verses that this preacher skipped. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Those were the verses left out. Are you as shocked as I was? This preacher in a funeral service in a Christian church left out Jesus. The sermon focused instead on the love we all had for this person who had died and how that love would help us remember that person fondly. And that was it. Nothing about how God's love sent Jesus to pay for our sins and assure those who believed in him of a resurrection to eternal life. Story two. This happened while visiting in a Lutheran church that was not of our fellowship. This Sunday sermon was about the restoration of Peter. You remember the incident Peter had on the night Jesus was betrayed, shamefully denied that he knew his Lord three times. And after the resurrection, Jesus met especially with Peter on the shore of Lake Galilee and three times asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter three times had to answer, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." What was the lesson this preacher took from the text? That we need to love Jesus. That, he said, was our ticket to heaven, that we must love Jesus. He didn't explain that we cannot love Jesus until Jesus loves us first. He didn't make clear that there is no ticket to heaven in anything that we do, love or not, but that what gets us to heaven is only and entirely what Jesus has done for us. It's not our love, but his love and what he has done for us in love that gets us to heaven. And only when we know and believe that can we, in gratitude, love Jesus. As we read just a few verses after our reading for this morning, we love because he first loved us. Enough of the part I hate. I report these things from other churches humbly because I remember Jesus' words too, that if I'm trying to pick a speck out of someone else's eye, I had better first take care of the log that is in my own eye. And I know that I have to repent, as I think you do too, of the times, many times, that I have left Jesus out of important parts of my life. And I know I have to repent, as you do too, of the many times when my pride has swelled up inside of me and hinted to me that because I've done this or that, that God must then owe me something. We fall into the same sins as those whom I'm faulting. And so that's why I'm particularly grateful for passages such as this before us this morning, where we can read, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. See, we don't have to rely, thank God, on the love we have for God. We rely on the love God has for us. And we read further, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. John says, we are like him. Are we like Jesus in how we love? Is our love like Jesus? Of course, the obvious answer to that question is yes. Yes, with our sins paid for on the cross, we are exactly like Jesus because throughout his earthly life, Jesus practiced love perfectly in our place. And God in his grace now sees us wearing that perfect love that Jesus transfers to us. That, and that alone, gives us full confidence as we stand in the day of judgment. In God's eyes, we are exactly like Jesus. Still, we struggle in our lives to live up to what God has made us, to learn how to love as God does, to try to love as Jesus did perfectly and giving of himself to others. Where we fail, when all too often we are not love, we find reassurance that God is love. And we live in that love that he showed us in Jesus. And when I'm privileged to proclaim to you and to myself that God is love, and we love and we live in the love that he showed us in Jesus Christ, when I can proclaim that to you, I love that kind of sermon. Thanks be to God. And for our prayer, let's hear these three stanzas by the great hymn writer Paul Gerhardt, who knew what God's love meant to him. We pray. Jesus, thy boundless love to me no thought can reach, no tongue declare. O knit my thankful heart to thee and reign without a rival there. Thine holy, thine alone I'd live, myself to thee entirely give. O love, how cheering is thy ray. All fear before thy presence flies. Care, anguish, sorrow melt away where thy healing beams arise. O Jesus, nothing may I see, nothing desire or seek but thee. In suffering, be thy love my peace. In weakness, be thy love my power. And when the storms of life shall cease, O Jesus, in that solemn hour, in death as life, be thou my guide and save me who for me has died. Amen.